Okay, so this is the third of the three separate files that I'm uploading for FAC number 1398. The original was a 6-hour file that Ab uploaded. He doesn't have the time to sit there and balance the audio and separate it into multiple files. He just uploads it as one giant file. 6, 7, 8, 10 hours. And that's fair enough. He's a busy man. Aren't we all? But for me, for this particular call, I thought to myself, this is worthy of getting more attention. So let's put it into separate files. Let's balance the audio. Let's get rid of the dead air and the other nonsense and make it as good as we can and then upload it and promote it. So that's what I'm doing. So if you're here for part three, then you've probably already listened to the first two parts. In this third part, things get very juicy indeed. Discussion about, is the border crossing a hoax? Are native people a hoax? What a crazy suggestion. What is the history hoax idea really? Why do some people misrepresent it? Why do we seem to be going around in circles on this particular topic? What is an Agent Smith? Are we surrounded by Agent Smiths? And is there a simple way to determine if you're living in a so-called simulation? And if there were a way to determine it, would you want to put that idea to the test? This and so much more coming up for this part three of a three-part series, JLB Chats 24, based on a Fakeologist audio chat number 1398, recorded April 7, 2024. I'm recording this little preamble and postamble 2 days later. And like I said, I'm doing this because I think this audio chat deserves to be heard by more people. And to anybody who does hear this, if you were one of the people who was on this call, and there was like a dozen different people over the several hours, thank you for being there. This is the kind of conversation I'm looking for. This is the stuff I like to listen to personally. And I listened back to this chat today when I was going for a walk along the river here in beautiful Plovdiv, Bulgaria. It was a sunny day, a peaceful day. And I walked along the river and I thought to myself, this is the kind of conversation that if there was more of at Fakeologist.com, maybe Fakeologist.com would be more popular. This is the kind of stuff that I think people want. Hopefully they do. So if you're enjoying this chat so far, please do go to Fakeologist.com and let them know. Or send Ab an email. Or send me an email. Let somebody know that this is the kind of stuff you're looking for. On the other hand, if you think this is all crap, let us know. Let me know. JohnLeBond123@gmail.com. I don't think that's going to be your opinion, especially after you listen to part three. So without further ado, let's get into the real fun, the real action. This is JLB Chats number 24, FAC 1398. We're going to pick it up from about the 4-hour mark of the original file, and let's see where this discussion goes. I did think that the boat would get more attention, but it seems like the boat story people lost interest after like 4 or 5 days. And so what I said to Ab a couple of days ago was, the way that people lose interest in these fake stories so quickly, even here at Fakeologist.com, if 9/11 happened again tomorrow, people will lose interest within 2 days. They'd move on to the next thing. It's like we're in
5 minutes.
We're in a post... What was it? The Portuguese fellow, Amun Ri, was it him who said that we're in a post-fakeology
period now? Something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he had a
a couple of podcasts I've been listening to lately have been featuring some guests that have started promoting the books that they've written about their documentation of things that happened during COVID. And I might have to check out it because I remember all the things, but I didn't record it and I wasn't real careful about all the different things, but because there were so many things that happened during that time with the empty hospitals and dancing nurses and ventilators and the characters of graphene oxide. I mean, it's just a super long list and things go by so fast. And I was trying to think of...
AKO, Toronto.
It's the top of the hour on April 7th, 2024.
I like my burgers zesty fried.
And I like my chicken wraps long and wide.
Throw in some cola, ultra size.
And don't forget a pound of crispy fries.
A family meal for just $29.95.
Support Big Fast Food and you'll feel alive.
Hey, Big Fast Food, do it your way.
When the winter blues set in, there's only one solution you need to think about. Imagine relaxing on a banana lounge in the middle of a picturesque beach with a gentle breeze swaying in the palm trees as you enjoy your third daiquiri of the afternoon. The worries of the working week a million miles away. At Big Airline Holidays, it's our end of season sale and we have half-price airfares to the warm and welcoming destinations you dream about. Call our customer hotline
with well-trained professionals who know how to upsell you from a budget three-day getaway to a bank-breaking week-long five-star retreat before you even realize you've gotten a credit card out of the wallet. Speaking of wallets, it's important to vote with yours, so book another trip with Big Airline today.
Can everyone here please say your name and where you're from to introduce yourselves to the live audience?
We do talk about fake and gay all the time, yes.
Yes, that's but a gay intake, so...
What I had started to say was in 2001, I think I had a Motorola flip phone with a little extendable antenna. I don't think I ever thought about text. At some point, I had a phone with some text that I could tether to my laptop to get Wi-Fi or get Wi-Fi onto the laptop through the phone through, like, cellular service. And that, I don't know when that was, but I can't remember when I got the first phone that had internet on the phone itself. Does anybody remember the steps that were taken between having a dumb phone up to the smart? I think that's had an influence about how we process all this stuff, is up to the minute access to whatever the quote news of the day is, you know, is I had internet at home on a computer during the 9/11 era, but that was pretty much it, I think, and television. So yeah, I'd welcome anyone's recollection about how that evolved in the last 20 some odd years. I don't remember it well.
But Scott Morrison is a woman.
Blackberries.
John Howe's a woman. George Bush is a woman.
We Blackberries spotted, had keyboards.
We spotted a number of trends.
Email. And also, I think there was a mobile operating system called Symbian. Some companies had phones. And after the regular phones came out, there were like phones with keyboards on it and maybe a simple browser and email capability. And then
I guess it's a job for Google, huh? I don't know. Like, what year was
no Symbian?
That you think there was a browser
after 2000? I think that probably around maybe 2004 to 2010. And even around 2007 was the introduction of the iPhone. At least that's the release time of the smartphones. I don't know
was
if they
set it up.
Was that the
first touchscreen phone, the iPhone?
Yeah.
Was the iPhone the first touchscreen?
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first one. Complete touchscreen. Yeah. And it's already, 17 years already now. Almost, probably. Yeah. And all the other phones, they had actually physical small keyboards. And I had a BlackBerry before. I liked it. It was quite good. But I guess they couldn't compete with
iPhone. Yeah, I had one. A little.
Or pages. There
Samsung
were pages.
Or something that had a physical keyboard.
I think the pages were big in America.
Have you seen the movie? There's a movie about BlackBerry. Have you seen it?
About the phone company? Or
yeah, the phone company, how they started. Very good. It's not a documentary, but with actors. It's a Hollywood movie.
There's a theory that the internet used to be better before smartphones became widespread and made the internet so accessible to the normies. So pre-smartphone, the internet was easy to access, but you just had to follow a couple steps. Whereas once everyone had the internet in their pockets, now everybody was on the internet all the time. That's when the internet became trash. Have you guys heard that theory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because before it was only the nerds, only people that had interest in computers knew how to access the computer. It wasn't for the normies, because most people couldn't really operate a computer. And now the smartphone is actually a dumb phone. They always tell us like a 2-year-old can use a smartphone. That's the way phones are designed. That until you can use it.
You know what I've heard? I don't know if this is true, but I've heard this anecdotally, that there are kids who are now like 18 or 20 going to first year university or college who don't know how to use spreadsheets. So like basic stuff on the internet, or basic stuff on computers, they were just considered, even the dunces knew how to use spreadsheets back in the day. Kids these days don't, because smartphones are so easy to use, or tablets. They're just like swiping stuff. They don't even know the basics of a computer. Now, I don't know if that's true, but it wouldn't surprise me if that were true. So, like, the idea that kids are all on their smartphones now, oh, it's going to be good for them because they learn technology. It doesn't work that way.
No, it's not. Really.
They're not actually learning anything that might be useful in any practical setting. They're just getting addicted to swiping a black screen. So, again, I don't know if this is true.
And the thing is, do they still learn handwriting?
That's a good question. I would love to know. I was thinking about this the other day. Do children still learn handwriting in school? I honestly don't know.
Well, a lot of people on these channels talk about how they've done away with cursive over the years. And I don't know what that means. I've never given it any thought. But that's definitely happened, I think, that kids write in block letters now instead of cursive, if they write at all. You know, I don't even know.
Yeah. Nobody writes letters any longer. Does anybody here write personal letters and written ones?
I can't speak for the whole country, but one thing I can speak for is that in my part of the country, they do teach writing in both regular and cursive.
Oh, that's interesting. Because there's probably some people here that would think that's a really good thing, that kids are learning cursive. I don't know why. But I have no ideas about that. There are people that think it's really bad that they quit teaching cursive, but nobody's ever given me a reason for it.
Well, I think it reflects
the personality.
Right?
Yeah, exactly, and it reflects the personality because every writing style is different.
I think it goes back, the fear-mongering itself to cursive being out of schools goes back to the fear-mongering that was put in place by, like, the Patriot Movement and all that. Oh, these kids aren't going to learn how to read the Constitution and all this shit. Yeah, okay. Is that what you're trying to claim? Anybody who wants to know how to do something is, like, let's just say, for instance, I just recently replaced the CV axle on my car. I went straight to YouTube. Well, that was the very first place I went, and I watched a video of someone else doing it. And I did it myself, the same exact manner, in a matter of an hour. So there's value in the technology, but there's also value in cursive. But don't try to fool me into, oh, the kids aren't going to learn about the Constitution. The Constitution don't mean a fucking thing anyway, so why are you talking about it?
Just on the cursive, though, going back to that conversation from earlier about like the meaning of words, it's interesting that in English you learn spelling and cursive. Those are strange words to call, isn't it?
Yeah, I did know that when we were talking about it. That is interesting, yeah. Spells and... But there's a lot more than those two words, I think, that if you look at...
And grammar? Grammar is similar to grimoire, like a magic spell. Grammar. How's your grammar, okay, spelling and cursive? Well, it's no good because I sit on my smartphone, isn't it?
Too deep.
But then, you know, when you start looking at legalese, too, then it gets really, becomes very obvious, the corpus mentis or whatever, and all the sort of spell casting that's in legalese, and but you get the summons to appear in court, and they have breakdowns of this where they analyze the language, and it's all very sort of mystical, magical wording.
Yeah, but it's only mystical if you're not familiar with the deeper meanings, right? If you don't know what words mean, and if you're not familiar with the secrets behind them, then, yeah, it doesn't make sense to you.
Well, earlier on, when they
even the word mortgage, right? The mort in there has a
it's
like a death contract, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Jan-Erik was here early on. Jan-Erik, a legend of fakeologist.com, and he was talking about how the wealthy use trusts, so they don't pay tax and they don't worry about assets the way the regular people do. It's all in trusts. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if that's true. I wouldn't be at all surprised. But the truth is, I don't actually know that. You know what I mean? It's an interesting theory. Do the wealthy all use trusts that they derive their income from? You know, I've heard it, but I don't actually have any evidence that it's true, though, is the problem.
Yeah, and it is the idea that there's some sort of parallel legal system that the plebs are unaware of that, you know, could be used to gain access to protection and preservation of your wealth and whatnot. But, yeah, I don't know anyone either. And I have the idea that if you had enough money, you probably wouldn't necessarily need to have trust to protect it because you're still going to be in the club regardless, I think. But I could be wrong.
But there are also the ideas that every country or every nation of the world is actually a corporation.
I think that could be confirmed by going to Dun and Bradstreet's list of corporations, and you can find all the municipalities and counties listed as corporations.
But what does that mean, though? So there's a piece of paper somewhere that says that, for example, Australia is a corporation. But what does that actually mean in practical terms? Does that mean that the land where humans live and they work and they eat food and all this kind of stuff, does that piece of paper have any bearing on those people in their lives? Do you see what I'm trying to say here? So you can have a piece of paper that says that Australia was incorporated at the New York Stock Exchange or whatever you want to say. Okay, great. Let's just say that's true. What effect does that have on the millions of humans who live in a territory known as Australia? Any?
If you go to the to the offices of that corporation that pretends to be your official country and you get the official documents, you've just become an employee of that corporation and all the laws apply to you. And if you don't become that employee by not applying for a passport or ID card or driver's license, then you're actually still living on the same land but outside of that Australian corporation.
Okay, so what's the result of that? Basically, let's just say that you don't get a passport.
Well, you're basically invincible for the corporation system. That's the theory that the police state cannot get you.
I've heard this kind of stuff before from YouTubers and stuff, but is it something that anyone's verified in real life action?
Well, here's the thing about the migrants coming to Europe. Why do they throw away their ID cards? And their passports. And we hear about these stories all the time. Even in America, you hear about the stories before they cross the border, they throw away their old identities. What they tell us, yes.
They want to claim refugee status. Isn't that the reason? They want to claim that they're refugees. They're fleeing some horror.
Yes. But why do they throw away their original papers? Couldn't you just...
I'm guessing so that they can claim refugee
status. But where does that story come from, though? Like, I don't know anybody that's ever done that. So, do you know somebody that threw away their papers?
Well, the thing is some of these people claim to be from a different country, and it's sometimes hard to figure out which country they really are from, so that they could pretend to be from country Z and eligible to apply for asylum status. That could be one reason.
Actually, that's a good question, Fast Value. You're the closest of anybody I know, at least on this call, to the border. Is it true that there are a whole bunch of people just trying to walk across the border to America? Like, in your reality, is that actually a thing, or is that just a complete TV story?
Well, it's funny, because I was talking about this the other day. Everywhere. Now, from where I am, I don't see anything like that at all, but I'm at least a good 100 more miles from the border. But I have seen somebody posted on one of these servers somewhere, like a surveillance camera from a bus station or a train station or a couple from cities that the news is saying is overrun, and you can go just look at the live stream of the bus station surveillance cam, and there's just like nothing going on, like not a single person anywhere. So I would question the hordes of migrants coming across the border on the basis of that. I certainly don't see anything.
Dude, if I lived 100 miles away from the border, like this is a really, like this is an important story. Either this is happening or it's not. If it were me, if I lived 100 miles from the border and I owned a car, I'd be tempted just to do a day trip out there and just go and see with my own eyeballs, are there people crossing from Mexico like they're saying? Because if that is happening, that does give you a good indication of where America's headed. If it's not happening, man, that's an incredible hoax that they're lying. They've even got some dude in Germany who believes this has happened. They've got me. I believe it, actually, to tell you the truth. I suspect it's true, but I could be way off here. Maybe there is no mass incursion of foreigners over the border, and it's a fake story. They could get away with
much,
it. They can fake
it's
anything.
Much more, it's much more gray here than it would be like in Sweden, say. Because in Texas, at some point, whoever the colonists were, the settlers, whatever you want to call the European descent people, they just drew a line through the sand or whatever and said, okay, well, this is ours now. And that line went around a whole bunch of indigenous people that had been here for thousands of years already.
What are you talking about? Hold on, fast forward. What are you talking about, man? What are you talking about? What are you saying?
Okay,
you believe
so,
all this?
No. What
it's
I'm saying is that
it's on the ground.
All so how we don't have a visual cue as far as, let's say, who belongs here and who doesn't, because the land was already settled by a lot of the people they're saying don't belong here, and they're coming across the border. Well, what is a border? These people, they've already been here for thousands of years, and all of a sudden you stuck a border in the middle of their land, and now you're telling them they can't come across.
Who's been there for thousands of years? What are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about?
What we call Mexicans, indigenous people that were in America. They've been around here much longer than the European people, and they look different. You know, they're darker, they have brown hair.
That was the people that were native, not the little, like, tiny Mexican people.
Well, I think it's a big mix. I don't think the point is if you're in Sweden and you see people from Ethiopia and Sweden, they look a lot different than the people you think of as Swedish. It's easier to say, well, those are probably migrants. The Swedes don't look like that for the most part, if that makes any sense. So what I'm saying, if I go downtown and I look and half the people look like they're Mexican, I don't know if they're illegal or not, or if they came here yesterday, or they've been here for five generations.
But isn't there a border? Isn't there like an actual border that you could just go to and see if people are crossing it? Or is there no border? Is that a hoax as well? There's no actual border between Mexico and America.
Okay. I've had one experience, and this is 20 years ago. I drove to Brownsville, which is the literal border. And when I was still playing guitar, I did a party, and this guy was the head of a GM plant that was right on the other side of the Rio Grande, so they could have economic advantage of paying laborers half or 20% of what they're paying the U.S. people. And on my drive down there, I had to go through a full-on military-style checkpoint with dogs and automatic weapons and the barbed wire and the whole nine. It was probably at least 50 miles from the border. But I didn't see anything when I did that, and I was right on the border, and it was just nothing. So to answer your question, I have no idea, but my guess is it's more hype than real.
I'm actually tempted just to go out there and see. Like, there should be some location where, in theory, nobody's allowed to cross, right? So it's just a matter of observing it. Are there people crossing this place or not? And I would be, like, I would love to know. Is that a true thing?
Okay, are you
in somebody Texas? If somebody said to me, hey man, check this out, there's a whole bunch of Turks crossing into the EU via the Bulgarian border. If this was like a massive story, I'd be like, I want to get a bus out there and go and see with my own eyes. Is this real or not? I'd be fascinated to know. Because if this is a fake story, if there isn't really hordes of immigrants crossing the border and they're just hoaxing that, that's probably the biggest hoax going on today in terms of contemporary news.
You know, that
should be easy to verify. Are there people crossing or are they not?
Well, it's a little, I mean, the border is really long, and so there has to be a specific place. So my starting point would be to find a mainstream media news report with footage where they have, like, those migrant caravans where there was 1,000 people lined up, and they say this is in Nuevo Laredo. Look what's going on there. And I would have to go to that specific location, like Film Your Hospital, the same idea. And it might be exactly the same as the empty hospital thing. I think it could be. I think you're definitely on to something, but I think you'd have to compare a specific place with what they were reporting on the news about that place. You know what I mean? Because the border's so long, you could go out in the middle of the desert and probably sit there all day and never see anything. But you might go 100 miles west and you might see a bunch of people coming across. I don't know. It's kind of hard to nail that one down. So I'd look for pictures or reports and find out where they said that was happening and then go there to confirm or debunk.
Dude, if you did a crowdfunded mission out to one of these hotspots, I would chuck in $100 for fuel money. If there was a fast value... I'm not even joking. I don't know why you're laughing. I'm being serious here. If enough people crowdfunded you to do it, let's get an on-the-ground report.
Like the Les Luthor of the border.
Yeah, that's important. Because if there are thousands of people crossing that border, quote-unquote illegally, then that you can see where the future of America is right there. That tells you everything you need to know. On the other hand, if that's not happening, then look how much they're hoaxing that in the news, that people around the world believe it.
It's not
either way to be...
You're not going to see all these foreigners... residing around you, increasing in numbers, everywhere you've grown up, you've lived, you wouldn't be observing that day to day, year to year. I mean, that's obviously happened. So,
are you talking about now?
I'm talking about how the communities are going brown that weren't that way 20 years ago. It's obvious they're coming from somewhere, and they're all fucking foreign. They're all a bunch of Guatemalans and stuff moving to my area, little Mexicans and stuff, yeah. And they talk about it. They talk about crossing.
And what area is this? Where do you live now?
South Florida.
Okay, South Florida.
It's the same here in Georgia.
Yeah, and North Carolina, where I grew up. Every time I go there, it's just more foreign and more foreign every time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, like, it's observable, and, you know, it's, I mean, whether it's plane, train, automobile, you know, in the back of a bus, back of a truck, whatever it is, you know, they're getting here someplace, somehow.
And what part of Florida did you say?
South Florida.
Yeah, I moved out of there a couple of years ago, and I had been there since 1985. It's what part of South Florida? In the Miami area or further north? Because I was right between Miami and Broward. And okay.
You might
yeah, I don't know. I think what a lot of people are kind of talking about is like this idea that there's this massive influx of hordes of migrants and busing and being shipped en masse. And I don't know if I could say that Miami and the change in that area is a result of that sort of immigration. But over the course of, I mean, when I moved there in 85, whenever I went to Miami, I always felt like I was in a different country, even back then.
It was like a decade old. Like, you know, in the late 70s, that's when they were letting all the Cubans come in. I mean, I know there was a few, you know, before, but like late 70s, that's when they did the whole like refugee excuse, you know, all the criminal people supposedly.
Yeah, the Scarface era. You're talking about,
I
think.
77, 78, right around there. Jimmy Carter was still in. Or JFK's second term, you know.
That's kind of the Scarface story if you take sort of a base, you know, basic outline of the Scarface movie about the prisoners being released in the Mariel boat lift to come to Miami. But, I mean, I think there's always been a really strong Latin presence in the Miami area, at least. And it's, you know, even when I moved there, I think it was already like 65% Hispanic. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
No, I'm not arguing that. Well, I would argue with it, like, if you go back further, because I've got all the historical, like, books and maps and photos of all the communities from South, like, Miami, basically, from the 40s and 50s and stuff. And, like, you had Greek communities that were cleared out. They were living on, like, docks, like, little houses on docks out in the water, you know, with little boats and stuff.
What are you talking about now?
They cleared all that out. All right, I'm talking about, like, Miami Beach area. You had, like, before they built it up, like, the bankers came from up north, like, in the 50s, I think. You had all these, like, Greek communities out on the coast, like, with docks. They were living on, like, docks with houses and, like, boats, and they would just fish. And that was, like, their little community. But they cleared all that stuff out back in, I think, the 50s. Early 50s. And, you know, they've built, like, Miami Beach is, you know, huge. You know, that's a totally different place now.
Well, I think probably, like, Minnesota would be a really good example of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, like total Mormon, like Somalis.
Yeah, yeah, like, now, if any of this is believable, that Ilhan Omar was actually elected by a majority vote, if you believe that sort of thing. Like, how does some Somali person end up having a majority demographic anywhere in Minnesota? Like, how does that even work? That, especially, you know, how long would it take to fill up that area of Minnesota with enough Somalis to vote one of their own people into what was probably a Scandinavian Lutheran white bread area forever. There's definitely something going on there for sure. That's what I'm talking about. It's easier to nail these things down in places like that because the differences are so obvious. I think there was some targeted action.
They weren't like Mexicans. Like, they were like Southern Mexicans, like you have coming in. Today they were you had like proper Indians like Comanche and Apache and stuff. That was originally why the Anglos were allowed to come there, because the Tejanos farmers basically didn't have enough strength to deal with the Apaches and the Comanches. So the Anglos were like, oh yeah, we'll do the job. You know, and then eventually they outnumber the settlers in Tejas, Texas, and, you know, stir up their own revolt for independence. But, I mean, like, you didn't have, like, little tiny, like, 5-foot-tall Mexican dudes all over Texas, you know, way back then. Well, I mean, I'm serious. Like, you had, like, Spanish dudes. Maybe some of them were mixed, but, like, most of them were, like, Spanish-type folks out in the north. You had, like, some church dudes. Hardly anyone was living there, you know, because it didn't take but, like, a few tens of thousands of Anglos to start outnumbering everything in that giant area. They had, like, a few cities, Austin, San Antonio,
Toronto.
Hi, I'm Travis from Kentucky in the United States, and you are listening to Fakeologist Audio on fakeologist.com.
Hi, it's StreamerBit. The date is April 7th.
Are you still driving some car which is 10 years old and barely impresses anybody? Sure, it gets you from A to B, but don't you want to be seen as successful and stylish? Don't you want the comfort of brand new leather seats which nobody has sat in before? At Big Auto Car Yards, we offer no deposit finance, so you can get wheels which turn heads and make you feel like your unfulfilling go-nowhere job is worth driving to once again. So come on down to Big Auto and sign the next 10 years of your life away. Vote with your wallet and support Big Auto today. It's that one special day every little girl dreams about. Surrounded by friends, family, and their motley crew of plus ones. Dressed like a princess, the star of the show and the center of attention, for an entire day. At Big Wedding Services, we tailor each and every celebration to your personal needs. You'll feel like the belle of the ball and have photos to cherish for the rest of your life, or as long as the marriage lasts, which is usually a few years at least. Venue hire is only 2x what you'd pay for any other event, and the flower bill should, most likely, come into less than $2,000. Nothing when you consider how important it is that you'll be the special princess for the day. Pick and choose which of your sisters and friends who make the cut to get into your bridal party. Be the boss you always wanted to be. Vote with your daddy or husband's wallet and support Big Wedding today. And for the guys, just let her spend whatever she wants. After all, what is she marrying you for in the first place? So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today. Here, we see a starving African child. His village has no running water, and food is scarce. With World Vision, you can feed him for just $1 per day. Here, we see an independent researcher and content creator living in some little town in Eastern Europe. Times are tough. Now that the pandemic is over and the world has gone back to normal, nobody cares about the truth anymore. He hasn't been able to afford any H or B for months now. You can feed his hedonistic appetite for just US 70 cents per day. Don't let this truth artist starve. Nourish him. Join johnlebon.com today.
You're a corpse. Yeah, you're a spiritual corpse. You might as well be a meat puppet walking around.
I can't hear my wife's voice anymore. I see her lips moving, but nothing comes out.
Now back to our show. Can one of our hosts tell us who's here in the audio chat right now?
I'll just get through it really quick. We've got Aeon from the UK, Buzzing Fritz from America. All of these sound... If you hear a generic sound effect, that's not me. I only play the sound effects from clips of people that I've taken from Fakeologists and other places. So if you hear a quack or a clap, any of this, that's someone else. And those people who abuse the soundboard are going to get it taken away for all of us. So you're going to ruin it for everybody if you abuse the soundboard. You understand? Anyway, we've got lots of people here. It's all coming out. The names aren't coming up for me for some reason. We've got someone who starts with a C. Dookie, I know him. Fast Value, not sure, not shocked. 01, that's who's in the house. And before the break, there was a disagreement over what kind of people are Mexicans. And the so-called Mexicans who are trying to get into America illegally, according to the news, do they really belong there because their ancestors are there from 2,000 years ago? Which sounds to me like a load of fantasy, but some people do believe that. And that question stems from, is there even people trying to cross the borders? Because all over the world, that's what our news are telling us, that America's being swarmed by fake refugees. But Fast Value seems to be suggesting maybe that's a hoax story. And that would be amazing. Wouldn't that be amazing if they just faked a mass incursion? That'd be top-tier fakeology. So I, for one, am here to offer $100 Australian dollars to a crowdfunding campaign if Fast Value to take a day trip out there. Well, I'm not kidding. I'm serious.
Yeah, if anybody...
I've got a little story if you want me to add to it.
Go ahead.
I've got a family member that lives in near the border. I won't say exactly where, but... And he actually works in Mexico. And he has confirmed there are people coming across, but not in the hordes like they're suggesting on the news. So there are people coming across the border illegally, but not near. I don't think it's near the numbers they're suggesting. And then to add to that, I think the other part is I don't think they have to come across the hordes right now. Most of them are already here, at least in the area I live. They've been here for generations. Most of them are born here. They're still illegal. We actually helped one girl get her citizenship here, but she could stay because her parents got deported, and she was living here alone, so she could go to school. But there are, I mean, there's generations that are already here. So it's been going on for a long time.
You know, this sort of feeds into this idea that I wanted to sort of, because the conversation is so, it should be really nuanced. We were talking about history changing and society accepting homosexuality and even the immigration thing. I think a lot of that has to do more with, what would you call it, social engineering, culture creation. You could call it corruption of culture, maybe, or something. It's not it's not necessarily legal and government types of programs that are operating, but more of a shift in the way people perceive and accept things, or a shift in how they view the world, or whatever. You know, like the big example here is the '60s and the feminism and the free love and the sexual revolution and all that. It's moving, steering culture toward, even now with the transgender movement. I would almost put this whole immigration thing in sort of that idea of maybe jamming disparate cultures into different types of populations that may not see things the same way, in order to atomize people and divide them, and decrease any likelihood of resistance from people because they're too busy trying to maintain their heritage or their culture or whatever, and defend against that what they perceive as some negative impact of different cultures. And I will say too, I understand that Mexico was the first country in the world to officially adopt communism as a form of government once upon a time. I don't know when that was or how long it lasted. So there may be some residual thing. And it's very interesting because a lot of the conservatives here, they're all worried about all the free stuff that is handed out to all the immigrants that come over. Now they're talking about ATM cards and healthcare, education, and this and that. But at the same time, they will say that they'll come over and do all the hard jobs that Americans are too lazy to do, and that their work ethic is really strong, and like all the, you know, the immigrants are responsible for this sort of lower tier part of the economy that depends on more manual labor and what you might consider harder, less. So there's a lot of contradictory narratives and things that are all mixed in with this immigration issue. And I'm kind of like, this is where my anti-statism would rear its head, because as a anarchist, I'm like, sure, come on in. One, come all. You don't get anything when you get here. You don't get any sort of handout from anybody. If you contribute and trade, you get what you're able to trade, but that's it. So I don't care, because you're not taking anything from me, because you're not getting anything. Nobody gets anything. No freebie anything for anyone. But since you're in a situation where it's a zero-sum game, if the illegals are getting all your tuition money and your Medicaid money and your debit cards from your taxes and all that, then you're going to be all bent out of shape about it.
I think that's media hype as well, because the illegal Mexicans that I've had personal experience with, you know, here in my community, they were too scared to go to the government because they thought they'd get shipped back. So they were taking zero, getting nothing.
Oh, right.
They were
working, that too, yeah.
They were working jobs for cash, and they were, you know, sending money home to their families. So that, to me, it's a narrative spun by the media. Like it's totally backwards. I mean, there are people here illegally, but they're here to do the jobs that Americans don't want to do, and they do actually advertise in other countries. You know, come to this city in America, we have jobs for you. I mean, that's a real thing. I mean, it happens. But yeah, so to me, it's happening, but it's not like the media. Why would we trust the media? Like, we should all know better.
Yeah.
It's not happening the way that AOC is not down at the border really crying because people are in cages. Like, that's all a show.
Well, I would argue it's genocidal, and it's aided by the system. So both the super rich and the government, which they own. So, you know, I would argue it's genocidal towards European countries and America and Australia.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
Which definition of genocide are you using, though? Because that's become very loose.
Just Raphael Lemkin's definition from the guy who invented the definition.
Is that – can you define it for us? Just so we're all on the same page.
Yeah, I can paraphrase you. He just says it doesn't always equal military exercises or like military killing.
You could just move in. You could just
denying the nation,
move in your country,
denying the national instincts, the history, the culture, working against the people to destroy them culturally and nationally.
Yeah, so I've got another example. If you want to hear it up. In the county I live in, they're about the bottom, I'd say the bottom third of the county where I live, for some reason, has become majority and minority, and it's actually from India. They've come here and they actually come in and with their whole, like they come in and buy entire neighborhoods and move in, and the demographics have, like, they've taken, like, they're more than, like, they're the largest, the majority of their demographic in the school system. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they're illegal. I'm just saying that is happening. I don't know if that's, you know, to destroy the culture or what, but they definitely don't they don't come here and become Americanized. Like, they do, they keep their culture very strong in their communities.
Well, I mean, I know there is legislation on the books that have targeted majority populations, if not nationwide, in certain areas where somebody decided that it's too homogenous and we need diversity. And then I think at the same time, while they institute this legislation, they're saying it's not going to change the demographics, but of course over time it does. And I mean, that's happened to a lot of cities, so I'm not going to argue that that's definitely going on. But, yeah, like, whether the extent of there's hordes of people in a giant caravan waiting to come across the border, I don't
know. That looks like a show to me.
Back to the subject of genocide, I think it would probably be fair to say that would apply well to what we think of as Native Americans, right, the indigenous people that were here before the Mayflower or Columbus showed up or whatever that story is. Those people don't. I mean, they're around somewhat, but they're not any sort of a recognizable percentage or have much influence on the population other than the Seminoles with the Hard Rock. They managed to make out okay, but I don't know. And oddly enough, I'm a card-carrying Potawatomi tribe member. And we do have a reservation, and I guess I may have some sort of shit hits the fan plan to go there because I could go there and live pretty cheap if I wanted to go to Oklahoma and live in the reservation-subsidized housing, which I probably will never do. And we may have a casino now, I think. I'm not sure.
Did this group of people known as natives, did they have a form of keeping documents and records through writing, according to the official story?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You're a card-carrying member of the group, so you're the person to ask, I would have thought.
I say that, with a little bit of
tongue-in-cheek?
I don't know. Well, it is true. I can produce the card. But I've not. Now, my family members have been a little bit more diligent in their connection with the tribe and all that thing, so I could ask around. I mean, there's a claim in the family that our tribe had the deed to the downtown area of Chicago once upon a time. I don't know. But, as far as the tribal writing from pre-colonial. That's very interesting. I'd like. Yeah. Okay, you put me on a little research project, John LeBon. I'm going
to
find out.
I'd be curious to know
whether it's animal skins and drawings, or you know, it might not be letters per se, but there may be some.
So these stories about what happened hundreds of years ago. Like, I'm very skeptical about all of these stories of what happened hundreds of years ago. And say in Australia, the official story is that the so-called
the
natives
fake, man.
Didn't even have the wheel, supposedly. So when the settlers came along, the natives didn't even have the wheel, let alone some kind of method for keeping track of stuff that happens in words. They didn't even have a wheel, for Christ's sakes. So, but now we're supposed to believe, oh, well, this tribe was over here and they had these stories and they had this cracked... What the hell are you talking about? They could have made that up yesterday. There's no records of any of this.
True. I mean, it does get into really uncharted waters when you start going down this path. And I'm not resistant to it, but you kind of feel like you're walking in quicksand when you start going down this road. Like it's impossible to know anything from beyond, your epistemology is what is it, you know?
Well, that being said,
I'd like to start with what is the official story? What is the story they're telling us, and what do they claim is their sources? That's where I start. So I'm asking you, do they even claim that these people were writing? Was there someone sitting there in whatever language these people supposedly spoke, and they wrote about, man, these freaking white people have come along, they're giving us blankets, we're all getting sick. Like, was even according to their own story, was there someone writing this shit down? Even if we just take their story on face value.
Well, it's probably verbal stories that were told to generations. But what does writing it down make? How does that make it any truer? Does that make sense? I mean, people can
with what's the story, okay? Before I say the story is totally fake, I want to start with what is the story?
What is the story?
According to the story, who the hell wrote it down? Now, if the guy who wrote it down was some so-called intellectual in a university back in the 1980s, right there I can say, okay, this is probably bullshit. All right. But if they say, oh, no. If they say, oh, no, it was actually written. We've got it in some museum somewhere, in some Xiao language or something. Okay. And we've got it in the museum. Okay. At least we've got something to work from here. Someone wrote something down that it's meant to be from 300 years ago or 400 years ago. Now we've got something to work with. If they don't even bother to present you with that, why would you believe a single shred of the story? Any of it. Any of the story, why would you believe it?
Well, there's someone on this call, maybe now, and I can't remember who it was, that says they can trace their ancestry back to, like, Mayflower times, directly. They have direct connection of generations back to the 1700s, which I find, and I know I've run across other people like that. My family is not like that. We go back two generations, that's it.
Yeah, my wife's family can go back multiple generations. They have it all mapped out. Yeah, not mine.
Where do they have it mapped out, though? When you say they've mapped it out, like what, in a book?
Yeah, it's all done by the family itself, not some book. It's the family.
Yeah, but like in... Okay, so where do they do it, though? You say they've got it mapped out where?
Oh, like on a PDF document they give us every year at the family reunion.
A PDF. Okay, cool. So you reckon 200 years ago their grandparents were writing PDFs? Well, my great-grandfather, his name was blah, 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 blah. No, at some point someone started that document. And what was the evidence prior to that?
Yeah, I haven't asked. I don't know.
Nobody asks these things. No one. Yeah,
I have seen letters that my grandparents have written to my relatives and to each other, and I think even my great grandparents, my mom may have letters. So I mean, and my thinking is, if there's two generations of people writing letters that I can confirm, why would I assume that if they wrote about somebody in the previous generation, they weren't here? I mean, I don't know. Like, and what is?
Let's go with that. So that's two generations plus another one. So that's three. I'm happy with that. Three generations is great. That's very different to 300, 400 years ago. You can see.
Now that you say that, John, I'm gonna go. There's a local historical library here where I live, and I'm gonna go see how far back they document. Is this supposed to be?
If you
local?
Spend a few hours doing that, I will send you money to pay for a dinner or for drinks or whatever you do to pass the time. That would be very useful to me. If a real life person said, "I'm gonna go and track my history,"
I'm gonna see how far it goes back.
It'd be fascinating to me. I'm being quite serious.
It is supposed to be just this local community, which there were supposedly American Indians that lived here. You know,
and then supposedly this person was born.
Supposedly started.
Right, they got this person born, and it says, "Oh, this person's father was this guy. This person's mother was this person."
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, great. And then you can find the records of them. Then there should be funerals. They should be places where these people were buried, cemeteries. Like, there should be stuff to verify this. And no one's checking any of it. No one. Everyone just tells me all these stories. My uncle did this, my grandma. I'm like, okay, great. What's the record? I haven't checked. I don't know. So why are you telling me the stories then, if you haven't even checked?
Yeah, I'm curious now. Just to see how.
There's a little art gallery near my house where I can have these kinds of discussions with the owner. And he's an American native of some stripe. And he goes back a little ways. I'm going to pick his brain.
Seconds.
Guess who
it is?
Jesus Christ. It's Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yes. Awesome.
The body of. The everlasting body of. Correct. So, John, I just wanted to give you some great news. And that is that I shared with you a video called the Big Casino, the Native American hoax. And it will go through. It's a video I did a few years back, you know, when you claimed nobody was doing nothing. So anyways, it'll go through and it will show you that all of the so-called Native American cultures are, in fact, hoaxes.
Can you give us a 411 now for myself and the people on the call, just like boil it down?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So then as you have, you got to go back. Let's just say that there was, for the sake of this discussion, there was a flood and then there was land starting to re-show itself. All right. So as you have land that's starting to re-show itself, a certain tribe will say that if I put my foot on this land, it is mine forever, meaning for the rest of so-called time. So then that happens. So then as land is being exposed, let's say in the West and in places like that, as land is being exposed, they have to then give you a story for why there's some pre-flood or proof of pre-flood buildings and whatnot. So then you have to have a story saying, oh, well, there were these Native Americans that kind of just showed up here. And they looked like this, that, and the other, and they lived in little teepees, and they had feathers and they killed each other and they also ate every little bit of that buffalo when they killed it. You just remember that. You know, they always give you this kind of big moral story. Anyways, out here in the West, Arizona in particular, there are several amusement parks, and you need to say A-muse. They're literally towns or little cities built in rock sometime. And that they will, say, magically housed these Indian tribes back in the olden days, you know, back when someone could exist in 3 inches from the end of the wall to the back of the cave. You know, when you go to these things, they're like, they're obviously ridiculous, but the story is so is ingrained that people want to believe there was these magical people here before, that they don't have anything real to show them, so they'll show them an absurdity. But say, don't worry about that. Just say that this story existed. And these people will literally tell their families that they visited ancient Indian ruins where people literally existed from generation to generation in the past, where, in fact, none of that happened. All of it is a hoax. So people came from the land of so-called India, South China, moved across. You even have the so-called the area of the country where you're in. If you head to the east there, you're going to get quite Asian features quite quickly if you keep going so-called east. So then all of that, because that land is not separated by an ocean, so you're going to have quite literally all of the skin tones available to then migrate to lands. Why? Because they're given financial incentive, just like today. Why do you have a controlled demolition and a controlled migration, what's called war? Well, then you move people through financial incentive. If you settle this area, then you get this X, Y, and Z. However, as you have the idea of pools, let's just say runs on this thing or the other thing, or you have interest in settling a certain area, if there's not a neighborhood, if there's not a group of people who are willing to stick together, a town, a city, a municipality dies. It literally ceases to exist, only because there's no human body or energy to keep it going. So really it's called, that's the idea of what's called a social contract. Anyways, not to run too long at the mouth, but just rest assured that the Indian, the so-called Native American culture, all of that is bullshit, 100%.
And there's our assertion.
Well, I could give you biblical assurances, thus saying, let's say, within the book of Adam and Eve, that the idea of the serpent was cast to the land called India, you know, for kind of why people say, well, how do you connect all these things? Well, there's that connection, right? You know, or coincidence.
Because we know for sure the Bible has been transposed through time to be clear and accurate.
You don't know anything. So okay. That's the difference there. So why don't you just go ahead and powder your nose while the minute's awful.
That sounds like a really good idea. And that's the Peruvian natives that have that powder, I think, from what I understand.
Why don't you go ahead?
They did a pretty good job with that initially.
Yeah. Maybe you can go fluff some pillows as well. All right? So anyway, does anybody have any useful input other than a farce?
Well, you're just relying on a book that's been like changed like a million times in the past 2,000 years to confirm these assertions.
I was recapping a video I made, which you didn't watch, obviously.
Okay.
So then here's the idea, but you haven't done anything in your life.
Well, you don't drop links. I mean, what are we supposed to do, man? Right. Aren't you banned?
I'm on the phone right now, bud. I'm not going to drop a link while I'm talking. Stop.
I'm not going to watch a video on the phone, am I?
I know you're not. So why are you asking for a link?
Well, just read us a script since you're on the phone.
I just did all that.
Oh, okay. Listen.
I just got done doing that.
Well, that's pretty succinct.
Why don't you go ahead and powder your nose? Go ahead and powder your nose, bud. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a little dry right now, but if I had some, I would. Because
I know you would.
I would have to rely on that artificial energy to keep up.
You engage
in extra brain cells to keep up with your narrative.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great chat.
So anyways, John, did you get that link I sent you in the Twitter?
I think I'd seen that video before, yeah. I'm familiar with your ideas
about that.
It seems sensible to me. I'm very skeptical, as you know, about all of these stories about white people, so-called native people, everyone else. I'm skeptical of the whole lot.
Well, I've heard...
And that's what I was saying to this guy before. I'm like, do these people even have a written record? At least with the so-called indigenous in Australia, it's fully admitted they didn't even have the wheel, let alone a writing system. Okay, so you can just forget all of that. But what I'm wondering is, how about the so-called natives in America? Is the story that they were writing stuff down? I didn't even know.
No.
And apparently no one here does
You have stick figures on the wall type of nonsense. But you do have this idea, which I find interesting, and I listen to tone and sound of voice. Lately, I've heard a Hawaiian guy who sounds white and an Indian who sounds white from Texas. It's quite odd. I just listen to the voice. But there's an Indian in Texas who sounds white, and there's a Hawaiian who sounds white. And these are both claiming to be these so-called natives.
What do you even mean when you say white? That's a whole other thing that's, you know, just the word white is starting to bug me quite
a bit. Everybody else who heard me knows what I mean. You're confused. Go run off. Go.
No, I'm not.
Everybody knows the tone I'm talking about.
And from what I understand, what they tell us about the Bible is...
There's four different tones.
What they tell us about the
Bible... And then, so then
what they tell us about the Bible is that the Bible was an oral tradition. It was handed down in Aramaic for how long? How long was the oral Aramaic tradition of the Bible? How many generations did that go? How many Aramaic generations?
Are you finding a book? You tell me, bud. It's your story.
I'm just asking you. You're the expert on the Bible. Now, they tell us the Bible was Aramaic, which Aramaic was not a written language. It was oral. So how many generations did the Bible exist in the oral tradition before it was written down? It's a simple question. Just answer.
Are you done talking?
You're the expert.
Are you done talking?
You claim to be the expert. Give me an answer.
Are you done talking? Are you done talking?
Yeah, I'm waiting for your answer. I'm waiting for your answer.
The answer is...
How many generations? Was it passed down orally? The Lord, there's a number.
The Lord Jesus
Give me
Christ,
the number.
The, stop talking. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks all languages because he created all languages, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. So that covers everything you just
he
said.
Is he's God? Greek, Did you say he is
everything.
God?
Yes,
they're not, are they
yes.
the same thing? Is yes. it two different things or is it one thing?
One thing.
It's two different things, but it's the same thing.
One thing.
Mate, the game's on this weekend. Are you coming over to watch and have a barbecue?
Nah, I'm going over to Danny's to watch, and you should come too.
What? Danny's place? His TV is no good.
Haven't you heard, mate? Danny's binned his old 40-inch HD he bought 4 years ago and got himself a brand new 65-inch OLED Ultra HD TV. It's so crisp and clear you feel like you're out there playing the game yourself.
Oh, wow. Did he get it from Big Tech Depot?
Of course. Danny voted with his wallet and supported Big Tech, like we all should.
In that case, I'll see you at Danny's.
Adventure, fantasy, romance, action, and plenty for the kids as well. All the escapism you could possibly want, streamed direct to your smart TV device. Bundle our movies and kids package for just $15.99 per month for the first 6 months, and you'll also get access to our comedy catalogue as well, at no extra charge. The movies and kids bundle, with comedy package included, now streaming at Big Media. Vote with your wallet and support Big Media today.
Can everyone here please say your name and where you are from to introduce yourselves to the live audience?
Dodo, stand up! You're no longer extinct.
So despite having your little membership card in your pocket, all so-called Native American Indians are in fact a hoax.
Okay, that's your assertion, and we have heard it. It has been noted and understood. Thank you for your opinion. We appreciate what you have to say, and that's your opinion. And we've heard it.
Stop talking
and
about we.
And I understand
why are you saying we? Why do you keep saying
well,
we?
Well, people on this call, I'm sorry. I'm not speaking. Yeah, I am speaking. I apologize for speaking for everyone.
About that.
I am assuming everyone heard what you said, but they may
don't assume.
Drifted
don't
or whatever.
There's uploads of treaties with different Indian tribes. There's loads. I mean, you're just all babbling. Literally, you go nowhere. You're just a cesspool.
Well, yeah, then leave it to you to go with the ad hominems, right? Well, of course. What are you going to do? You got to go there.
Well, how can I not describe it?
Because I asked you a very serious question.
I gave you an answer.
About the Bible.
And I gave you an answer.
And whether
you didn't accept it.
And it related to the conversation. John Lamont.
I did not accept it.
No, you gave no answer. You provided no information.
The same
way you always do. It's... Yeah, there was no answer there. I said, how many generations was the Bible passed down orally? You did not answer the question. You evaded it plainly and clearly.
It started from Genesis 1.
Right, don't lead us off on a merry dance, mate. We're halfway down the garden path already.
You know,
let me go back to where we were before you jumped on this call and disrupted our train of thought. We were talking with John LeBond about the legitimacy of history and whether it being written down is significant. And if you don't have a written record, if you don't have a written record, then how can you trust what's – if you don't have a written record, then how can you trust the information that you're getting? That's kind of where we were with John LeBond, which I think is an interesting
idea.
Then
you started arguing against yourself.
No, I'm not arguing against myself. But what I was going to point out is that some cultures have this history of oral tradition.
Native American cultures are
visible. All right, that's your assertion and your opinion. I've been over this already. Now you're just repeating yourself and being redundant.
Did you watch the video?
Why? I don't know.
Did you watch
the video? I'm not going to watch your video. No, of course.
I'm interested in the video. I like this type of shit.
Okay.
Okay, so, man,
but anyway,
I will share the video with you.
What's the title of it?
Just to make an example, it's called the Great Casino, no, the Big Casino, the Native American Hoax.
Okay, you already said that. I wish you were on Discord so you could actually.
Are you following this show at all?
I said I put the show notes in.
That's a funny.
Yeah, one. Honestly, I don't know who okay. banned you, but I wish you were on Discord so you could actually post.
Oh, you
link.
Know who bans the owner of AKO? This it's not that.
All right. So anyway, to get back to my original question about this idea,
they're prevalent in the open field during the spring. Is the main reason. You will see them in the green fields during the spring. That is what the main issue is. That's who causes the conflict. If you can figure that out.
I don't quite catch that, but that's fine. All I'm saying is I wish there was an easy way for me to find your video because I'm probably not going to remember by the time I get a chance to look at it. Huh?
Maybe John LeBron can post it. Wait, what name do you go by? What's your call sign?
I'm Dookie Foot.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll get it to you somehow.
All right. Well, I've seen you comment on BitChute, but that's about
that
the only place I've ever
commented on.
No, it was on Fakeologist's channel.
Oh, okay. Well, so yeah, I'll somehow get it to you. Maybe I'll share it on that and then let you know. You'll get it though. No worries. Well, I'm
I'm
going
to post it in the show-related chat. If you go to show-related chat, I've posted the video, DJ, the Big Casino, Native American Indian Culture is Hoax. It's right there.
All right.
Yep.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Dookie Foot. And I'll talk to you all later. Be blessed. Cheers. Oh, and by the way, Jesus Christ, who is God, created all language. So, hey, there you go.
Why do you need two words for the same thing? What's the point? Anyway, bye-bye.
Well, let me ask you.
A very low threshold for that
how
guy.
Old is your house? What year was it built?
Yeah.
Man, what a show! Looks like the crowd is slowly petering out. But man, what a show!
Yeah.
Another Sunday marathon here at Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I thought we were kind of on an interesting thread before when you were talking about written history versus oral history or whatever, and whether the fact that it's written down means it's more legitimate. And I'm kind of curious about that. I think that's a good question.
Well, I didn't say it's necessarily more legitimate, but at least it gives us something to inspect, right? It's not just hearsay, which oral history is just hearsay. It's always just people saying, well, I heard this and now I'm telling you. As long as it's written down, in theory, I can say to you, the story that I'm telling you now is written down in this book or in this document that you can find in this place. And then in theory, you can go and find that book and check on page 89, does it say this? So at least we have something that we can both work from. That's the benefit of written history. So what I was asking was, do they even claim they've got a written history for these so-called natives? That's all I'm asking. I don't even know the official answer to that question. Now, if they don't even bother to give you a possibly fake written history for these people, they're just like, oh, they've got this history a few hundred years ago, some people did this. Like, if that's all they've got and that's enough for you, then why would they ever have to give you anything more? Oh, yeah, these people, a few hundred years ago, they used to live here, and then, this is their ancestral land. Yeah, that's it. Is that enough, really?
Well, I mean, and of course, right now in the news, and for now for the past almost 100 years, or more than 100 years, there's a little piece of land in the Middle East that's the subject of a lot of controversy where that's kind of the story of the day, right? Well, this belongs to us because there's something written here, and, we laughed a while ago, but now we're back, and this is ours, yada, yada, yada. So, how does that work over there versus anywhere else? I mean, these are good questions, I think.
Well, the Bible is one thing that I don't happen to believe is thousands of years old. I understand other people do believe that. I don't believe that. I've looked into it. I looked into the history of where does the Bible come from, the thing that they call the Bible now. Where's it actually come from? What's the provenance of it? What's the chain of custody of it? Who claims they copied it from what other book? And so the person who says to you, I published this Bible, what Bible are they copying, right? And if you go back through the process, okay, where'd they get their Bible? Go right back. As far as I can tell, it goes back to the 1800s, is what my research
is. Well, that's why I really
wanted to hear something. People come and say, oh, no, it's older than that. I'm like, cool, just show me the research you've done. I'm happy to inspect it. No one ever does that because no one does that.
I wanted to hear some answers from the self-proclaimed expert on this really kind of...
You're cutting out,
very interesting.
Uh-oh, boy.
Well, guess who it is, Ed?
DJ.
Guess who it is?
Oh, come on.
Guess who?
I need you to walk into that closet naked for 3 days.
So so far, so I understand where you're coming from on the Bible, but at some point in time it was written down. So you have to really start from there. You know, you can't really, yes, they claim, allegedly, it was all hearsay at first and stories passed down from priest to priest, but eventually they did write it down, so, I mean, you can use that as a base if you wanted to. And I think there's a lot of truth in the Bible.
For a period of time.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm going to jump in. I mean, are people really claiming now that the Bible is fucking fake and Indians are the real deal? Come on. I mean, give me a break now. I mean, this is going too far.
Well, then this is where I...
It's being taught and believers, worldwide believers, and now we have this mainstream-supported Indian group that's supposed to be real, and Christianity that actually teaches some valuable stuff and some morality. That's so supposed to
be. Okay, there might be some confusion here. Let me just explain my position. I don't believe the Bible's hundreds of any more than
No, I'm not saying that.
And I don't believe in the natives either. I'm consistent with this. I don't believe any of these stories at all. I'm just trying to work out which ones least have some written documents.
Obviously, Fast is claiming now that Christianity is something, a hoax, and Indian natives are real. I mean, I'd rather believe in a Christianity hoax than in Indians being real, man.
Is that true, Fast? Are you claiming
that Christianity is fake and Indians are real? Words that really true? Matter. When you talk about belief, you said the magic word, belief.
It's and not a belief. Conversation it's a morality system. I don't care if even if Jesus didn't exist, man. Well, I can
I
still be a Christian
anyone on this
because
call,
I don't want to be in a homosexual society, period. And I don't want to be... ruled by fucking minorities.
Can't really, because it's Christ is a truly God, truly man. If you don't believe that, you're not a Christian. I don't.
He's actually pushing the minority fucking stuff that the Jews push on us.
Yeah, but
I'm getting sick.
All right,
I'm not going to be ruled by fucking minorities, man. I'm going to become a Nazi on you. If you want to be that fucking Indian that comes to Germany or something and then tells me what I have to do and believe and maybe feel guilty about fucking the Holocaust, man, I'm going to become fucking Nazi here. You're not going to do
and
this
that's
shit
exactly,
to me.
I think, honestly,
well,
that's
I want to hear a conversation between you and BV.
And I'll tell you one thing. I can tell you everyone. I want Germany to be a white country, and if you have a brown color or you can come from a different culture, you're not German, okay? According to me, my ancestors don't look like brown people, and they've been
but even the Nazis
a long time.
The Indians are real people, or Indians with a feather. Right, like we're not talking about.
Yeah,
God.
I'm just saying that.
I
don't believe in Nazis either, man. But I believe in my people.
That,
I know what a German looks like, and don't push any other fucking shit on me and tell me like Turkish people or whatever. I have to accept that concept, man. I don't accept gays. I don't accept trannies. Yeah, don't play these mind tricks on me. And good that we talk about these Indian topics, man. And we need to expose these fucking hoaxes because the Jews use all these minorities on us, man. I'm so sick and tired.
Not all of them are non-white. You had Indian leaders, tribal leaders, that were like Dutch growing up, you know, and they come over and they end up heading tribes and stuff over here.
I know what my family looks like. I know what my surroundings looks like. There's nothing Indian or something. I don't care about these stories.
Okay, now wait a minute.
Who's
making the comment about Dutch tribal leaders? Because I don't have my screen up.
I'm not sure.
Make a comment about Dutch tribal leaders?
Right, yeah. I mean, there's different...
The Dutch are run by Jews too, man. Fuck the Dutch, man. All this India company shit, man. Go fuck the Dutch, man. All these Jews, man. And that's the topic that's never going to be talked about. I'm going on a rant again, man. Yeah?
I think, listen,
yeah.
Earlier,
these
when
Jews, they play each other, man.
Zero.
I'm sick and tired of it.
But even they aren't the people they claim to be, right? Like,
I don't care, man. They're the enemies of any Christian, the decency of morality.
If you want to know, right? Like, it kind of matters if you want to get into the thick of it.
Well, this is what I'm putting
out. That's what.
When Zero just compared the Indian myth to the Holocaust myth, that was perfect. Because I think, honestly, that's what the...
I also watched some documentaries about American and Native reservations, man. I'm disgusted that they have all these casinos right now, right? And get off, make big bucks off the white people because they are the ones that actually gamble away their money. And these natives profit, right? And they think, oh yeah, now I'm going to make some real money because of the misery of the white people.
Why do you use the word native, though? You use the word native. Why did you use that word?
Or then Indians or whatever tribe they call themselves.
That was given to you by the group you're complaining about. That was
term. And why would you use the word India? Because India is an actual place. You know, it's not.
Yeah, fuck India too, man. I hate this place, man. Fuck all the Indians.
Well, dude, listen, I fully agree. That's a great parallel to make between the Indians and the Holocaust.
I mean, the real Indians. I don't have anything against the sort of really so-called Native Americans.
That's a story.
But don't profit off the misery of other people.
Wait a minute, I'm really confused here. Like, so somebody on this in this point of thought, what is the best piece of evidence that I can look? Because, like I said, I mean, I wasn't joking. I do have tribal heritage, not a lot, but it goes back at least 3-4 generations of people in my family that are claimed to be American natives. Now, you're telling me that my generational, you know, ancestry is a hoax. Okay, fine. So what is your proof that the things that I'm being told by my ancestors is wrong and a lie or whatever? What is the proof that you're going to present to me that contradicts my ancestors that I should accept has a better level of credibility than what I'm told by them? Like, what? Just give me the nutshell, the major piece of evidence that you have that you can present to me to rely on that my ancestors are a hoax.
No, I'm not saying your ancestors are hoaxes. I'm criticizing the system right now that the minorities are profiting off the government because obviously the Jews want to support and divide the country, and they use the minorities and give them all the money, and the white people are actually suffering. And that's my concern.
Okay, so
I'm not against
you. Xenophobic rant at this state.
It's just injustice. You know, that nobody talks about because the white people are being depressed and made ashamed of themselves. They should be proud because the white people created civilization, man, and everybody is just trembling on them now. And that's why the economy in the world is on a downturn.
Do you know the definition of civilization? You can look that up. It's
no natives created it. I can guarantee you,
well,
no natives created it.
Means
man, you profited off it.
Domestication.
You should respect all the white people more. I mean, this idea that the white people was a slave or whatever, man. You are alive
are you
because
hearing
the
me?
White people created freedom. You, that's why you exist today. Don't forget that.
What freedom are you talking about?
That there's you're
no
alive
freedom.
And not working on the plantation right now.
It's so funny.
You believe in a different version of history.
Well, slavery
is. I can look around me right now in front of my eyes and see the lack of freedom that people call freedom, the oppressive and the soft, the open air prison that we call freedom. It's a soft form of wage and debt slavery. No, it's not chattel slavery. And to be honest, I think chattel slavery introduced to tell people later, oh no, you're not a slave. The slaves are the ones in the field that are chained up and being whipped and picking the cotton. You're free.
That's a good
you have to
point.
Pay taxes
That's
and you have
point
slavery
well.
And interest and no opportunity for upward mobility, but you're free.
Right.
The slaves, they were the ones that were slaves. I think that's the only reason that chattel slavery ever existed. was to implant that in people's minds so when they became debt and wage slaves that they didn't know that that's what they were.
I agree with both of you in different points, but
but do you actually ever talk about the Jews as Native American? Where are the natives against Jews? I would support them.
They're in Palestine right now.
But obviously, you can't be against the Jews because they run your casinos, right? It's a money game, and you love the money. So you actually fall into the trap.
You're not talking to the casino corporate dude who's...
No, but they all profit off it, man. Every if you can claim a certain heritage, native heritage, man, you can get government money.
A tiny percent of...
I'm not the minority.
Could make a list of everything he likes on like a 5x3 index card. I think that's what I'm hearing.
I'm going to be ruled by fucking minorities, man. I'm going to become a Nazi here on you.
I think he makes some valid points myself.
You're guilty about fucking the Holocaust.
Zero One's list of things that he likes.
They're different topics. We don't have to confuse all of the topics just because we're mad about one thing.
I don't think
Zero One's just mad. He hates everything. He's like the kid from the Life cereal commercial from back in the day.
Yeah, I hate minorities to take advantage of the system and play play against actually the people that would support them. But they're too stupid to see that they're part of a game that they don't understand.
Well, I'll give you an example. All right, so during the medieval era, you had the knowledge preserved.
What medieval era?
Hold on a second. The medieval era. When was this?
Yeah. we're talking like 11th century up to the 15th.
So you're talking about like fairy tales, like fantasies and stuff, like TV shows and stuff.
No, we're talking about, like, the Templars and some of the Venetian
like fiction,
explorers.
Like stuff that you've heard from people, just make-believe stories, right?
No, I've seen the documents, I've seen the evidence that was here of people that traveled here before,
which documents?
Quote, Christopher Columbus.
Like what? What have you seen?
You need me to, like, have books on everything open?
Well, just give me an example, just one thing you've seen that makes you believe in these stories.
Well, John, you're in Bulgaria, right?
Point before I crack open books and give you loads of references.
Just any reference, just a single thing that makes you believe these stories are real.
Yeah, I'll have to go crack open my books for you to do that.
Well, John can confirm this, I think, because he's in Bulgaria. Aren't there structures in Bulgaria that are several hundred years old that you can...
Thousands. Like they say that this is one of the oldest cities in Europe. The city that I live in now is supposedly one of the oldest cities in the world.
And what is your estimation of the actual age of the buildings, in your opinion? How old do you think they really are?
50 to 100 years, tops. In fact, they're still uncovering them to this day. In fact, the 2,000-year-old theater here, the 2,000-year-old Roman theater... They discovered it, amazingly, it's above a four-lane highway. They discovered it's in a hill that's above a four-lane highway. And no one seems to see a problem with this.
Yeah, I mean, is a four-lane highway a tunnel under the hill?
Yeah, it's a tunnel.
There were actually Europeans traveling to the Americas during the pre-Columbian period. And a lot of this, you can go through the Iroquois. They're up in the north, and they have a hell of a lot of cultural influence from Norse, quote unquote, paganism, and their bit of warriorship. There's a hell of a lot of.
What are you talking about now?
The Norse. I'm talking about, like, there are actual traces of European influences on the eastern sections of the American continent. Back before Columbus and all that.
Well, isn't the official narrative of history is that Eric the Red or whoever, some Viking, was in America a couple hundred years before Columbus, and that's in the history books, isn't it?
Yeah, but they deny they went any further than Newfoundland.
Okay,
you know, and and we have the Smithsonian Institution, government institution. Most people think it's like a charity or something, but they take a personal, like a career interest in not allowing any information on anything other than post-Columbian, whatever is dated post-Columbian, 1492. You can't have anything recognized after that, or before that, I'm sorry. And they also work on, like, covering information on, like, giants, weird archaeology in America. Quite a few different topics, but that's one of them. You know, anything pre-Columbian is dated. They give it straight over to whoever's the head PC, you know, quote, American Indian, you know. Like the Kennewick man.
Too guilty about fucking the Holocaust, man. I'm going to become fucking Nazi here.
Well, there's nothing. Yeah, but that's a fake event. Like, it's a fake event. You know, it's not. It's quote the Holocaust.
Oh, what are you talking about now?
Trademark. Well, he brought up quote the Holocaust. And I'm just like, well, it's not legit.
Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
I mean, but, like, there's carvings of, like, Templar Knights in Rhode Island, Connecticut. You know, there's stuff in, I don't know, where, like, Michigan, through the Great Lakes, you know, there's various runestones that have been found. You know? Well, I was bringing that up because talking about American Indians was pissing off, you know, Zero. And I'm just
you're a liar. You are a false witness to murder.
What, is that like a little soundbite, or are you actually saying that?
And you're a babbler, and you're an antichrist.
Lovely. Okay.
I'm not going to be ruled by fucking minorities, man. I'm going to become a Nazi here on you.
You're cut now, wait. Oh, boy. Well, guess who it is, Ed?
Hey, Jay.
Guess who it is?
Oh, come on.
Yes,
Indian owners of service stations won't let you use their toilets.
I was just wondering how many times he was going to respond to the soundboard.
I think we got up to four. I think there was four literal responses to the soundboard.
I mean, honestly, though, I mean, they were great responses, but still,
nobody died, nobody got hurt.
Too guilty about fucking the Holocaust, man. I'm going to become fucking Nazi here.
Right, don't lead us off on a merry dance, mate. We're halfway down the garden path already.
You like being that dog. You like being that tough guy.
I can't hear my wife's voice anymore. I see her lips moving, but nothing comes out.
Have you at least gone to a lawyer to get their advice?
Yeah.
And what did I say?
I wanted to drown that lawyer underneath the ocean because I will probably end up going to jail.
Oh, what are you talking about now?
Your fridge is actually informing the government on what you're eating.
You're a babbler, and you're an antichrist.
Are you following the show at all? I said I put the show notes in.
We spotted a number of trainees.
Oh, what are you talking about now?
But Scott Morrison is a woman, like John Howard's a woman. George Bush is a woman.
Oh, what are you talking about now?
Accidents can happen. I think I need to explain this again to you.
I don't think, therefore I'm not.
The new season's here, and that means it's time to bet on the games. At Big Bookie, we have so many betting markets it'll make your head spin. Bet on first goal scorer, last goal scorer, which direction the wind will be blowing, what colour underwear the referee will be wearing, and so much more. Let's go to retired professional player to give us his pick of the week.
Well, it's round one, and that means there's some good odds to be found.
My retired pro multi of the week is Jones, first goal scorer, Brown, last goal scorer, wind blowing northeasterly, and the referee to be wearing black undies. Multi it all together for odds of 3-1, 1-1, and win big this weekend.
Get the app on your phone for even better odds, and for alerts if you go even 1 week without placing a Hail Mary multi. No cold turkey for you. This app will keep you hooked. So vote with your wallet and support Big Bookie today. So you've got the good news and you have a special little one on the way. You know what you need to do now. Find out if it's a boy or a girl. At Big Radiation Clinics, we have the latest in 4D sonogram technology to let you see every nook and cranny of your bundle of joy. More often than not, you'll even get to see your baby kicking and squirming while we take a peek. It's almost as though they can feel the radiation cooking them in real time. So come on down to Big Radiation Clinics and see the baby today. Here, we see a starving African child. His village has no running water, and food is scarce. With World Vision, you can feed him for just $1 per day. Here we see an independent researcher and content creator living in some little town in Eastern Europe. Times are tough. Now that the pandemic is over and the world has gone back to normal, nobody cares about the truth anymore. He hasn't been able to afford any H or B for months now. You can feed his hedonistic appetite for just US 70 cents per day. Don't let this truth artist starve. Nourish him. Join johnlebon.com today.
I don't think, therefore I'm not.
When you drink vodka, you just sound like this sad, lonely idiot.
We spotted a number of trannies.
Dodo, stand up. You are no longer extinct.
Indian owners of service stations won't let you use their toilets.
Like, they'll lead us off on a merry dance, mate. We're halfway down the garden path already.
Well, let me ask you, Adam. How old is your house? What year was it built?
Yeah. I'm not going to be ruled by fucking minorities, man.
What are you talking about now?
I'm going to become a Nazi here on you.
Now back to our show. Can one of our hosts tell us who's here in the audio chat right now?
Here we got Buzzing Fritz, Dookie, Fast Value, and 01, and not sure in 01, and John LeBon. And, man, they got a bit heated for a second there. Every time it comes to the Holo Hoax and the Bible and history, people always get very heated. But prior to that, it was a very productive and enjoyable conversation, I thought. One of the best of 2024, in my personal opinion. So hopefully all seven people who listen to this can give us their feedback in the comment section below. That'd be much appreciated.
So, JLB, I have a question for you. I'm going to put this on you the way people put it on me whenever I talk about living in a stateless society. Because everybody, if you talk about a stateless society, everybody, they want to know what it's going to look like if we have no state to take care of all the things we think it does. So if we throw out all of our ideas about whatever we've ever been told about history, what is your best construct of what history really looks like in actuality? Like, you know, what do most people think? The Genesis story, Adam and Eve, and go ahead.
I'll try and give you my best take, and I'll try and boil it down for you to like a minute, maybe even 30 seconds. Most people have a bunch of stories in their heads, and they believe in dinosaurs 70 million years ago, and they believe in human civilization thousands of years ago. And I used to be one of those people. Now, in my head, there's not very much when it comes to how things were in the long, long ago. I'm skeptical even about 100 years ago. So what was really happening? I don't know. Was anything happening? I don't know. Does it matter? No. Because humans love stories. And all I'm doing is saying to people, where did you get that story? Have you checked the story? And of course the answer is no. And that's it. That's as far as it goes. You can't take stories away from people. You can't. Humans need stories. So what I think the authorities are doing, the author, it is, A-U-T-H-O-R, it is, the authorities are the people who tell the story in the way that's the most compelling. So in our world today, the way things are now, there's a bunch of people who tell these stories about ancient Romans, ancient Egyptians, ancient Chinese, dinosaurs, whatever, doesn't matter. They're telling these stories, people love the stories, someone like me, all I'm saying is, yeah, but where'd you get that story? And people like me will be ignored, even by the people who claim that they care about the truth. They don't really. They're humans, they care about stories. And since I'm not giving a replacement story, they're going to reject anything I have to say. The question is the whole lot. That's just how things must be. This questioning history thing will never go big. Even if you had a really beautiful, well-spoken man and woman, right? And people love beautiful people. If you had a beautiful, well-spoken, popular man and woman talking about this stuff, they wouldn't go anywhere. They might go further than I've got it, but won't go very far. Because ultimately, you're trying to take away stories from people, which is like trying to take away the air from birds, right? You can put a bird in a cage, but if it can fly, it's going to fly. Humans, if you give them a chance to believe stories, they're going to believe them. Somebody like me is just an outlier. And that's evidenced even here at fakeologist.com. All these people who claim they're awake and they do research, but then they'll start telling you stories, and you say to them, okay, where'd you get that story? Oh, well, what do you want me to do, open a book? No, just tell me where you got the story. They don't, no one's checking this stuff. That's not what humans do. So that's my boiled down answer.
I agree with you about, I think we're about 99% on the same page with that idea. You are correct. It's the most authoritative, there's that word again, author, storyteller, kind of wins the minds of the people with whatever the most compelling story is. So that definitely seems to be the locus of control of the system is the storytelling.
Yeah, and if I wanted to make more money than what I'm doing, I would just pivot into Tartaria or Mudflood or one of these stories about how there were cities but they were dug from underneath the dirt and shit, because at least then you're giving people a new story. People need the stories. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. All I'm saying is the story that we've got, I checked the books don't go anywhere. It's incredible. No one's actually checking the books, guys, literally nobody apart from me, right? That goes nowhere. If I said to people, hey, guys, check this out. There are these photos of buildings from Philadelphia, and it looks as though they're like dug into the ground. Maybe there were cities here before our civilization. Now people will listen because now there's a new story. You see what I'm trying to say? That's where you get people's attention.
Yeah.
You have to give them stories. I'm doing is taking the stories up. And saying, where'd they get that story?
I want to back up just a little bit when you said nobody's checking these out. So it sounds to me like you've checked things out. So for an example of something that you've checked out, and you said it a few minutes ago too, nobody's checking this out. So like, do you have one thing, like, you mentioned something, I think, but something that you checked out and you're like, oh, there's nothing here. There's like, I've heard this my whole life and they said this or that, and I'm looking in the books and I'm trying to find the origin or whatever, and it's nothing. I can't find anything. Like, what's one of the examples that you could pull out and say, you know, go look for yourself and see what you can find, because I found nothing for this person. This
right. I can tell you that one.
The city, whatever.
Yeah, I can tell you one of the ones that I did. I looked into this Library of Alexandria. There's this story that there was once this great Library of Alexandria, and it stored all of this papyrus, and it was basically like the biggest library in the world a couple thousand years ago. And then it burnt down. And when it burnt down, human progress was set back thousands of years because that was the repository for all information, right? So I tried to look into what is the evidence for this story, the literary evidence for this story. And so I found that a lot of modern sources were tracing back to this guy, Edward Gibbons. So I went and got a copy of his book, and I tried to find the sources for his book. I found them. I went and read them. And I followed this process, and once you get back to the so-called original, they don't even mention a library, let alone a great library that burnt down. So that part was just added in. And then, because everybody was citing Gibbons and then citing each other, that became official history now. But it all goes back to just a complete make-believe thing. And nobody would know that because no one checks the sources. That's really the central point I'm trying to make to people. Forget about my opinions on history. Here's what's really important. No one's checking. And people can verify this by asking themselves, have I checked? And the honest answer for everybody who hears these words is no. So why would you assume that anybody else is checking?
I think you're on target with that. I agree with you. I'm not going to say.
There's no source material because all the source got burned in the Library of Alexandria.
No, it's much more interesting than that. Some of those documents from the secret societies were spirited away, and they're stored in the basement of the Vatican now, which gives the Catholic Church, which is actually controlled by the Jews, all this power because they have all the secrets in their library under the ground at the Vatican.
Well, let me ask you, how old is your house? What year was it built?
Yeah. Why is that funny? It's
to guilty about but, yeah, the Holocaust, man. I'm going to become fucking Nazi here.
What, is there somewhere you can go to sign up? Is there a recruiter with a little table out in front of the...
chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay! Do you understand?
What a chat, man. This has been crazy. I've got some good drops from this one. But it's 3 o'clock here, so I best get going soon. But Fakeologist is back, man. I think Fakeologist.com, the audio chats, they're back with a vengeance, is my personal opinion. So hopefully it stays this way for a while. It's good. Yeah. It's addictive, though. I don't know about you guys, but I find this place addictive. When I should be doing other things, I just get addicted to this place.
I can.
Well, I appreciate your due diligence, JLB. I think you're really onto something with, just asking the question. Well, how far have you gone to verify the thing that you've accepted as, you know, true this whole time? Like, because like you actually did. You looked at the Library of Alexandria, and then you.
Yeah, that's just one example. I did this with multiple stories, and it takes hours and hours, right? And it's boring as shit because you're just sitting there reading, taking notes. Just for hours and hours, just reading stuff, taking notes, going and finding sources. It's boring. It's completely unrewarding. And this takes hours and hours and hours for each topic. And by the end of it, there's like no sense of achievement because it doesn't go anywhere. You just get to like a book, like you get to the end of the line, and you read the book, and there's no more sources from that. It's just a fictional book, right? So like there's no, it's not like if you're building something, and at the end it's built. This is the opposite, right? It's just, it goes nowhere. And so, yeah, that's why, like, when I say to people, like, have you checked? And I know they haven't.
Well, now, here's the thing. I think at the same time, there are, whatever, however long people have been here could be completely independent in reality from anything that's written down about those people.
That's true.
That
yes.
are here.
That's a good point. You are totally correct. All I'm looking at here is the literary evidence. Whereas you could have these buildings that maybe they're 200, 500, 1,000 years old. Like they're separate questions. I'm totally with you. What gets me is how many people believe in history thinking there's literary evidence and there isn't. And they haven't checked. This to me is very significant. Why are there all these people who claim to know about the truth and care about the truth, but they're not checking anything? And I've got a theory about that. And my theory is that the non-player characters are programmed to not be able to check history. All they can do is argue about it or parrot it. They can't actually sit down and read a book of history. So part of the design of this world that we're in is that your average person, even if they told themselves that they wanted to check history, couldn't do it. Same as they couldn't fly. They couldn't flap their arms and fly. They can't sit down and read books and take notes. They can't read. Even if they want to.
You say
they tell themselves that they're too busy, but that's just a programmed response in their head, right? Oh, I'm too busy. I'm doing this. No, they're not too busy. They literally cannot do it. So something has to go wrong with your programming. Something has to be off for you to be able to do what I've done. And no one else can do it. And they just tell themselves they're too busy. No, they're not. They're not too busy. They literally can't do it even if they try. They can't do it. No one. They can't do it. Yeah. It's like there's a movie called The 13th Floor, right? It's called The 13th Floor. It came out in like the late 1990s. And in the film, basically there's a fake reality that these guys have built, right? That's their business. They've built a fake reality. And one guy goes into the fake reality. And what he discovers is that in the city that he's in this fake city, none of the NPCs have worked out that it's a fake city. Because none of them try and leave the city. They've all got reasons why they don't leave, but none of them try. So the point is, even though this fake reality only has one city, none of the NPCs have figured it out, because none of them try to leave the city. It's the same in our reality. No one tries to trace the history, the sources of history. Nobody. That's why no one's figured out that it's so obviously fake. It's ridiculously obvious how fake it is once you check. But guess what? The people here can't check. They can't. They can't do it.
They cannot do it.
I don't like the word can't. I'm saying I don't like it. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't like it. I want to have more hope that people could somehow, but it would have to be incentivized. They'd have to have some motivation, some payoff somewhere, and there's probably not much of one.
Because all they're going to find is the truth. That's all they're going to find. If they do the work, they'll find the truth. And guess what? They don't really want that. They say they do, but they don't. Because it's right there. It's right there for anyone to find. But they're not designed to care about the truth. They're designed to care about stories. And the truth and stories are opposite things.
Are they going to find the truth, or are they just going to find that what they've been told is untrue?
That is the truth. That what they've been told is untrue.
Yeah, I know, but... But is that really the truth? It's the truth that it's untrue.
Well, you won't find out unless you do the work, and you're not going to do the work. Like I just explained, you can't. Even if you want to, you couldn't do it. None of you can.
Well, I can, but I'm gonna.
None of you can. None of you can do it. None of you can set aside a few days and just do the work. Even if you tell yourself that you can, no, you can't. I could offer you $5,000, but you still wouldn't be able to do it.
Now I'm going to just prove you wrong, because I'm just going to follow your line of research about Library of Alexandria.
I don't have the...
And I can start with Edward Gibbon.
Everything's fake now.
That's pretty...
Just as everything's fake now, that we're supposed to presume that it's always been all fake. Which is BS.
Well, I have a particular line of thinking on this. From what I recall about everything I've been told about history, in a lot of cases, and even on small local leveled cities, actually we had a birthday party here yesterday for our city, and there was a tribute to the legends of the city and people who did it. So there's always this kind of what I call the great man version of history. Like there's one powerful player that comes along and does something and changes everything, and all of a sudden everything gets better, whatever. And I also kind of compare that to superhero movies, because there's always some super characters that they go trash a city, and all the people on the ground are like ants that are just totally inconsequential and have no power, and they're just relying on these superheroes to take care of everything. So I kind of almost feel like that history is written in a way to make people think, well, I'm just going to, do my thing and wait for the great men to come along and take care of this like they've always done. Like, I don't really have to do anything. I'll vote or whatever, but the great man will be president, and he'll sort all this stuff out just like George Washington did, or Napoleon, or whoever. Name the great man. There's millions, right? So I could see how history would influence people to think that way. And it sort of takes away a lot of personal agency when you're waiting for the great man to come along and solve everything.
Yeah, and there's also a whole bunch of academics. There's a whole bunch of people whose whole job is to know history. So if what JLB was saying is true, and the sources don't go back more than 200 years, one of the experts would have told us by now. There's a whole bunch of people who we've never met, who don't owe us shit, but we know that if history was fake, they would tell us. They would do us a solid and come and explain it to us. And since they haven't done that, history must therefore be real.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's just right in way. Oh, if that were true, we would have heard about it by now. How many times have we heard that?
Well, I traced up all of Anatoly Romanenko, everything I could find in English, and then even in other languages where I was going on, poorly translated versions online, I was not convinced of his thesis about, how it all starts 1,000 years ago or whatever.
I'm glad you weren't convinced, because it's all bullshit. It's all bullcrap. All of that nucleology is all nonsense.
On round Earth ideas about space, and astronomy. That's what it's
based. That's not the problem with it. The problem with it is that it's claiming that history is real. He's just changing how long ago it happened. He's still telling you that history actually happened, which you can verify for yourself by checking the sources.
Well,
which, as we've already explained, no one's going to do that.
I've only been doing that for 20 years, whatever,
We're faced with that word, the limitation. What is history? What's the definition of history? I haven't looked it up, but we probably all have different ideas of what that means.
What have you been doing for 20 years?
Well, I mean, technically, it's anything that's not the present, right? I mean,
now,
whatever happened 2 seconds ago.
What happened before? What's real? What's false about it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what have you been checking? Like, what kind of stuff have you been researching?
Oh, I mean, what? It'd be better if we talked about what I haven't.
I mean, not just one thing. Just tell me one book that you've read that you've got information from the history, so-called.
Well, on the topic, I was making claims about the European action in the Americas in the medieval era. J.P. Farrell does a tremendous job on that. In The Vipers of Venice, he does Babylon's Banksters, and then he does Vipers of Venice, and then he does The Thrice Great America and The Janus Age. That's like kind of a trilogy version. And it's all tracing around finance, essentially, history of finance and all that. So, I mean,
to guilty about something in the Holocaust, man, I'm going to become fucking Nazi here.
Yeah. Get to the chopper.
I don't think, therefore, I'm not.
Like, don't lead us off on a merry dance, mate. We're halfway down the garden path already.
Anyway, I need to take off. So thanks to everybody for the conversation. Thanks to Ab for hosting this at fakeologist.com. Thanks to all the people who support this place. I need to go. So I wish you guys all the best for the future. All of you, really. I could be back tomorrow. I could be back in 10 years. I don't know. But until then,
I do well.
I truly wish all of you the best. And if anybody wants to contact me, feel free to contact me. You just send me an email and I can respond if anybody wants to hear more from me. But more likely, no one cares because no one's listening, and that's fair enough. So thank you, everybody. I have to go. And I'm going to leave on this happy note, okay?
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Do you understand?
I wanted you to tell us good night in Bulgarian, man. He's gone already, I guess. We'll have to wait till next time to get...
Anyway.
Okay, so that's the end of this upload for JLB Chats number 24, based on FAC 1398. I hope you enjoyed that. I took a bit of time to balance the audio, to get rid of the dead air, to insert a few clips where they were relevant, such as the JLB promotional ads, which I put in place of the Fakeologist interludes. So a lot came up in all of that, folks. A lot of topics came up over the last 4 or 5 hours, didn't they? So if you found any of that interesting, my suggestion is go to Fakeologist, leave a comment, let them know. Or go to johnlebon.com, leave a comment, let me know. Or send Ab an email, ima@fakeologist.com. That's I for Igloo, M for Mary, A for Apple @fakeologist.com. Or send me an email, johnlebon123@gmail.com. John Lebon with an H, 123@gmail.com. Just let somebody know that this is the kind of stuff you're looking for. The only way we can know for sure is to get feedback. And a big thanks to those of you who have left feedback for me at johnlebon.com over the past few weeks. My email inbox has gotten insane lately, but a lot of it is positive stuff. Like, it's gotten totally overloaded, my email inbox. But a lot of it is positive stuff, and I really appreciate it. So to everybody who participated in FAC 1398, my thanks to you. This is the kind of conversation I am looking for. To Ab the Fakeologist for running Fakeologist.com, thanks to you for doing this. You provide a platform that I think is very important. That's why I support it. To all the people who support Fakeologist.com, good on you. There isn't much independent media out there. Ab provides a place where it can be discussed and created. People can come along and be part of the content creation process just by showing up and talking. I think it's amazing. I think it's fantastic. So thanks to all the people who support Ab at Fakeologist.com. And of course, the people who support me at johnlebon.com as well. Thank you all very much. I hope you've enjoyed JLB Chats number 24. There's another 23 of these waiting for you from the past few years where I've taken blah, 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 you get the story. So go to the links in the show notes below if you can find them. There's more of these. There's a ton more at Fakeologist.com. And if you want the really juicy stuff, folks, the stuff that's too hot for the public to handle, that's johnlebon.com. Go to the members section. Some people are like, oh, I would never pay for... Okay, fine. That stuff's not for you then. But for people who understand that you get what you pay for in this world, maybe it's time to pay for the good stuff at johnlebon.com and see what is on the other side. So that's it for today, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed FAC 1398, JLB Chats 1, what is this, number 24. Hope you've enjoyed. Have a lovely day. Have a lovely evening. Have a great week. Have a great year. Have a great life. I wish you all the best. I wish badness on no man or no person.
I wish you all well, and I hope that you all wish me well. Because life is short, folks. Life is short. One day we'll all be old men, old people just sitting around thinking, ah, back in my day, sonny, fucking, we used to sit around talking about the native peoples, hoax. Not like the kids today.
I would have said it started about 11:22.
I was a little inebriated and showed him some pictures that I shouldn't have, and he hasn't shut up about it since.
I just want to let everyone know how much I appreciate the value that Velo brings to the channel.
But Scott Morrison's a woman, like John Howard's a woman, George Bush is a woman.
You know you're a liar.
Your 250 epic times $25,000 is worth $6.25 million. Now, is that nuts? Is that crazy?
That's a lie. That didn't happen.
You're in the naughty corner, Roller. You're in the naughty corner. And if I had my way, Melisette would be in the naughty corner next to you with a big pointy dunce hat on.
Stop it.
Indian owners of service stations won't let you use their toilets.
I'm one of those people that never use service station toilets.
Accidents can happen. I think I need to explain this again to you.
That guy was a professional, high-level government operative.
Bitcoin transfers, you know, when I sent you Bitcoin, hello?
When did you send me Bitcoin?
And Epic. You got some Epic too, I think.
If you're stupid, you can't see it. Most people are fucking stupid.
They're all gay. Gay and Jewish.
We spotted a number of trannies.
Low point in Bello's career. Low point.
Oh man, that's fucking terrible.
So I'm sick of these drops. Oh my
dude,
god, it's driving me mental.
A taste of my own medicine is so fucking annoying.
Every big major Hollywood star is a Jew. Trust me.
John LeBon, pseudonym. He was saying, this is terrible.
Yeah, fine. So what?
We want to bring in Mark Walsh, who's a freelancer for Fox. You live just a few blocks away and witnessed.
Dude, I live on the 43rd floor of a building, which is five blocks from the World Trade Center itself. I witnessed the entire thing from beginning to end.
People talk about how it looked like a movie. I know when I came walking down here early this morning and saw both towers on fire and people on every street corner, it was like a movie, but you watched the planes hit the towers.
I was watching with my roommate. It was approximately several minutes after the first plane had hit. I saw this plane come out of nowhere and just ream right into the side of the Twin Tower, exploding through the other side. And then I witnessed both towers collapse, one first and then the second, mostly due to structural failure because the fire was just too intense.
That's a lie. That didn't happen.
Obviously, there were a lot of people inside the buildings at the time.
From the 7th Precinct, the 1st Precinct, the fire department right here, the 7th truck, those guys are all right there at Ground Zero when those things went down. And God bless, I know there's a lot of guys there that were around there. Hopefully, they made it out.
Nobody died, nobody got hurt.
What was happening around you and the streets around you as this was all going down?
Absolute pandemonium. From my viewpoint, up 43 floors, I could see people running like ants, just absolutely scurrying for their lives. Billows of smoke coming through the streets, just walking down the street, just pushing everybody back.
Stop it.